You can now binge the critically acclaimed Dr. Death Season 1 ad-free on Wondery Plus. Dr. Death Season 1 is a crazy show about 33 patients who all put their trust in one well-known surgeon, but some ended up maimed and others dead. Join Wondery Plus to binge Season 1 ad-free and start your free trial today.
On September 22, 2019, Adam Newman was in New York City for a series of make-or-break meetings.
Reporters who were covering WeWork had all been chasing sort of this very hot story.
Corey Weinberg, a reporter with digital news site The Information, had been watching the WeWork saga unfold from the sidelines.
It started trickling out in mid-September that Adam Newman's fate was very much in doubt as the future WeWork CEO. The company had already pulled its IPO, so what the hell is its way forward? You started hearing about the board calling emergency meetings, trying to figure out what is it going to do about the Adam situation.
First, Adam met with Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan, who'd become one of his trusted advisors, and who Adam liked to call his personal banker. J.P. Morgan had been responsible for brokering the IPO. But now that the IPO had blown up, Dimon was working hard to come up with a fix. Next, Adam had dinner with Bruce Dunleavy. Dunleavy was an early WeWork investor. The two of them had walked around Manhattan for hours when they first met, visiting WeWork offices and dreaming of what would be. Dunleavy had sat on the board for years and was one of Adam's staunchest supporters. On September 24th, WeWork's board gathered at J.P. Morgan's headquarters on Madison Avenue.
You know, usually when you're covering companies, what's happening inside of a board meeting is pretty much under lock and key. But everybody knew that this board meeting was happening and that it was to decide the fate of Adam Newman.
One by one, they cast their votes.
This is now official. WeWork has officially come out and made a statement now saying that Adam Newman is stepping down as CEO.
Everybody voted that Adam needs to go. Even Adam himself voted himself out. You know, he had just become too toxic and the company would not be able to raise money or really have a future with Adam still in the seat.
After the decision was made, Adam sent a company-wide email. Since the announcement of our IPO, too much of the focus has been placed on me. Our priority has always been our mission and our community. Because of this, I've chosen to step back as CEO and will concentrate on my role as chairman of the board. The same week, someone would post a picture of Adam online, walking down a Manhattan sidewalk, talking on his phone, barefoot. The photo went viral. It seemed to perfectly capture his fall from grace. From visionary entrepreneur to false prophet. But Adam Newman wasn't gone. Not really.
You can't push him out. So I think you have to put him in a chairman's seat, give him a president title.
See, Adam still owned a lot of shares in the company, and that put everyone in a very awkward position.
The rank and file employees were known to take a almost cult-like adherence to what Adam was talking about, and all of a sudden, you saw them turn on him because it was clear that Adam's mistakes were now causing them to lose value of their stock that they had been hoping would turn into something really lucrative. So it just totally ran roughshod over the whole company, both rank and file employees and executives. Like, the prevailing question was, okay, what the hell happens next?
Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Before as many victims, the search for justice is still alive because Epstein had help, lots of help. And on the newest season of Broken, host and investigator Tara Palmieri follows Epstein's survivors as they track down those who enabled and witnessed his crimes to hold them accountable. Broken, Seeking Justice is a podcast that documents the journey of these women to find out what justice looks like in their lives, including their battle against the government to change how it treats victims of child sex abuse. They're naming names, they're seeking justice, and sometimes they even find it. Listen to Broken, Seeking Justice wherever you get podcasts.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, the host of Business Wars, and this is We Crashed. This is the sixth and final episode in our series, Me Before We.
The markets came to the conclusion the company was not only not worth $47 billion, was not only not worth $20 billion, but the company as of today is worth less than zero.
NYU Business School professor Scott Galloway's prediction about WeWork had been right. 2019 was indeed a very bad year.
This isn't an enterprise creating value, it's an incinerator.
Inside WeWork's offices, the news of Adam's departure caused a mixed reaction. Corey Weinberg of The Information.
It was crazy. I had sources texting me, like, the king is dead. You know, this news, like, was celebrated in some corners of the company, and it was taken with shock and sadness in other corners of the company.
The company Slack channel said it all. A flood of emojis, a straight face, a gasp, an upside-down smiley face. But the scale of the upheaval was clear to everyone.
Not only was Adam gone, his wife was gone. Not only was his wife gone, but the chief product officer, who was Rebecca Newman's cousin, was also gone. Michael Gross, who had once described himself as Adam Newman's fluffer in front of a group of employees and was the vice chairman of the company, he was negotiating his exit. Adam's downfall had this incredible ripple effect across WeWork.
On October 3rd, WeWork had its first employee all-hands meeting since Adam had stepped down. Adam had been replaced by two co-CEOs, including Artie Minson, the company's CFO. The new leadership had their work cut out for them.
It's an understatement to say that they did not have the personality or name recognition that Adam Newman had. Artie Minson had a well-respected career, but was essentially known as the guy trying to keep the finances in order. He was not someone that people saw as necessarily a CEO type.
Before the new CEO spoke, it was time to hear from the last co-founder standing, Miguel McKelvey.
Together has always been one of the most we values. It obviously makes the most sense. If you measure yourself by anything in this context, it should be by togetherness. It should be.
Miguel was always this kind of like cheerleader inside of WeWork. You know, he didn't have a ton of management authority.
We all are creating the future together every minute as we go forward. So with that, I would like to bring up Artie and Sebastian. They're going to give us some more insight into the process that we're following and to help us understand the path forward.
Then, co-CEO Artie Minson took the floor.
Hey, everyone. It's good to be here with you.
By this point, frankly, there was a feeling of total gut punch, resentment, and hopelessness.
It's been obviously a very emotional 6 weeks, I think, for all of us. But I wanted to give a little bit of context today on sort of where we are and where we're going.
Artie told everyone that WeWork would still go public, but he couldn't say exactly when. First, they'd return to their core business of renting office space. They'd sell the stakes in other businesses they'd acquired. In other words, no more WeGrow, no more Wave Pool Company. Then he addressed what many of the employees most wanted to know. What would become of them?
But people's jobs are going to be impacted. And again, you know, hand over my heart, I'm really sorry that it has come to that. You have our commitment, you have the board's commitment that we will do this in a way that is respectful to people and recognizes all of the efforts and blood, sweat, and tears that people have put into this company.
But Artie promised that for those who would remain, the company's future would be bright.
Everyone loves a comeback, and this is going to be one of the all-time amazing comebacks. So I thank all of you for all your efforts.
When Artie was done, another WeWork employee serving as the moderator opened the floor for questions.
Anybody? Don't be shy. Oh my gosh, somebody has a question. If you have it, everybody has it. We have one back
here. One in the back.
Hi.
How are you?
Jennifer, this is my second week here at WeWork. You mentioned that the numbers in the papers were wrong, and you also mentioned that we'll be right-sizing. In between 0 and 5,000, where would you put the number?
Welcome. We don't have the number right now. We are working through it.
In fact, behind the scenes, the people left in charge of WeWork's future were working furiously to get more cash, fast. They needed a bailout, and there were really only two options. Either convince SoftBank to give them more money, or take on billions more debt from a package J.P. Morgan was putting together. And then there was the question of what to do about Adam's shares.
Adam still basically had control of WeWork. He had the largest ownership stake, and any decision that would need to happen to transfer his ownership stake, you know, SoftBank or anyone else would need his approval.
See, Adam knew Musk's SoftBank needed WeWork to survive because SoftBank hadn't bet big just on WeWork. It had poured billions into other startups around the world. And if Masa were to let WeWork collapse, it would cause a kind of panic.
It had a lot riding on the WeWork investment. If they had let WeWork just collapse, that would have looked even worse for SoftBank.
So Masa had no choice but to keep it afloat, which meant, to Adam, they would bail him out no matter the cost.
Adam still held some of these cards at the end of the day, and he played them.
SoftBank sent an experienced executive to negotiate with Adam. The executive later recounted to the New York Times that he sat down with Adam and essentially told him, "We gave you everything you asked for. We trusted you. Now, we need you to pay back that trust and work with us."
Dow Jones, Wall Street Journal reporting a deal has been reached suggesting that Adam Neumann, as part of this deal, which would be worth about $8 billion for WeWork, would be collecting somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.7 billion. That would include a $185 million consulting contract.
Yes, you heard that right. Adam could walk away with as much as $1.7 billion.
The agreement that SoftBank came to was not only were they going to buy out the shares of Adam Neumann and a lot of other executives, which would enrich Adam even as he's stepping down and allow him to pay back a lot of the loans that he had taken out that were tied to his stock, but SoftBank was also going to pay him nearly $200 million, quote, consulting fee to essentially step aside. Reading between the lines, SoftBank bribed Adam to get the hell out of his own company.
What's extraordinary here is the shamelessness of Adam Neumann.
The company had lost billions, but the man most responsible was going to be just fine. Adam, by the way, declined to comment for this series.
Imagine the people you've worked with are going to end up, a lot of them are going to end up with nothing. You are walking away with billions and you decide, well, based on the situation, I think I can get another 185. We've never seen people make this much money for losing this much of other people's money.
While all this was going on, WeWork's employees were left in a state of suspended animation. They waited, updated their resumes. Some employees stopped showing up for work at all. For weeks, rumors of impending job losses swirled. Then, in late November, a group of employees at WeWork's headquarters in Manhattan received an email ordering them to report for a meeting. On November 21st, they sat around waiting. Finally, at 1 in the afternoon, an email arrived. It was for a mandatory meeting in the second floor conference room in 2 hours. The note that came with it said, "Bring your laptop, WeWork devices, and any personal items." The writing was on the wall. We Crashed is supported by Ring. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer. You probably already know about their smart video doorbells and cameras that protect millions of people everywhere. Well, Ring also helps you stay connected to your home anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery or a surprise visitor, you'll get an alert and be able to see, hear, and speak to them all from your phone. My brother and I got my parents a Ring doorbell for their home so they didn't have to jump up to catch the delivery person every time the doorbell rang. But the additional benefit was that sense of security for them and for us, since they could use the app and so could we. We decided to get a Ring doorbell for our place, too. It's so simple to set up, and we love the extra peace of mind. Now, I want you to listen up, because as a listener of this show, you have a special offer on a Ring welcome kit available right now if you go to ring.com/crashed. The kit includes a video doorbell and a Chime Pro, which is just what you need to start building a ring of security around your home today. Go to ring.com/crashed right now to get that special offer. That's ring.com/crashed. According to ZipRecruiter research, nearly three-quarters of employers say they're finding it difficult to fill open positions. It doesn't mean they're not trying. 68% of employers have raised their wages and 23% have increased their benefits. Hiring and hiring well, that's just a tough nut to crack. If you have a difficult role to fill, no matter what your industry, hire with ZipRecruiter. Now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/crashed. See, ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To check out ZipRecruiter for free, listeners of We Crashed can go to ZipRecruiter.com/crashed. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRASHED. ZipRecruiter.com/crashed. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. As the WeWork employees reported to the conference room on November 21st, they were met at the door by 5 reps from HR. They sat at a long table, checking each person in. At each entrance were 2 large men. Some wore flannel and t-shirts. All of them had earpieces. About 50 people from marketing filed into the room all at once. Their boss stood before them. She told them their jobs had been eliminated, and they were all being terminated. Some employees laughed as she instructed them to hand in their laptops and exit the building. Those who needed to collect their things were briefly escorted back to their desks and shuffled to the stairs. More security guards lined the staircase as employees were led out the side entrance. As employees were taken out of their offices, the beer taps were shut off. They couldn't even drown their sorrows. A similar scene had played out in WeWork offices around the world. The company fired 2,400 people, almost 20% of its global workforce.
It's impossible not to count your chickens.
Many of these employees had held stock in the company. They thought they were going to get rich when WeWork went public and they could cash out. That wouldn't be happening.
It's impossible to not do the math, and it's impossible not to tell your husband, let's start looking for a bigger home and thinking about that second kid. And then overnight, it not only went away, but a lot of these people were probably wondering, will I have health insurance?
One employee went so far as to launch a class action lawsuit against WeWork. She accused the board of directors of not doing its job to protect minority shareholders like her and all the other WeWork employees. That suit is still pending.
So if there is a human tragedy here, it's the employees of We who believed the rap, believed SoftBank, believed Adam Neumann, that their efforts were going to result in financial security and wealth that literally went up in flames in a matter of days.
There was an irony in that Adam was always preaching we, but it seemed very much that it was about he.
Remember Lisa Sky Hain, employee number 4 at WeWork? She'd left WeWork after refusing to sign an 18-month non-compete agreement.
And I remember sitting for a good long conversation with Miguel. We talked for a long time, and I said, you know, I could be very happy going across town and opening 2 or 3 of my own, and maybe I wouldn't take over the world, but maybe I would have employees that were happier or members that were happier and, you know, not feel like I have to push everyone.
She did start her own co-working company in New York called Primary. It has just 2 locations, and she still carries some of that spirit of we from the early days.
it was almost this vision of Adam, again, with his arm sort of propelled forward, like, we must go forward and conquer the world energy. And I sort of had my arms out to the side and wrapped around the community of people, including our employees, behind me saying, but what about the people?
Hello, my name is Tara Zoomer, and I'm here today because the government is the only institution that citizens have that is big enough and powerful enough to protect their rights.
Tara Zoomer, the employee who was let go for not signing the employee agreement, she became an advocate for other employees wronged by their companies.
But I had signed an NDA at that point. And in California, they did something they actually hadn't done in about 20 years. And they subpoenaed me, which lifted my NDA and enabled me to testify one more time, sharing my story.
I'm here today as proof of the true nature and danger of these agreements. I urge you to support this bill and reverse the damage being done to citizens through the privatization of the court system, because companies should never have the ability to take away the rights of citizens.
Tara's testimony has helped pass legislation adding protections for California workers who sue their employers.
And that was a really cool moment and day, was realizing that we don't have to have cases and claims of wrongdoing be silenced.
WeWork was a very demanding work environment.
As for Dick Markle, the 62-year-old construction executive who schlepped through the rain at summer camp in England, he left WeWork in April 2019 after the company said his role was eliminated. But Dick felt like something else was going on.
I said, look, I don't know what's going on here, but my entire schedule's been vacated. I feel that given this has not happened to anyone else on the team, I am the oldest member of the team. I feel that there is age discrimination going on, whether it be blatant or whether it's subconscious. There is some kind of discrimination that's occurring, and I'm the victim of it.
A few months later, he filed a lawsuit against WeWork.
If you think you can discriminate against people, whether it be, you know, sexual discrimination or workplace discrimination or age discrimination in any other fashion, well, guess what? The rules really do apply to you.
I wanted WeWork to work.
Joanna Strange, who WeWork sued for leaking documents.
But it was like being in a toxic relationship, and you got to know when you're being abused and get out.
Though a judge sided with WeWork in the lawsuit against Joanna, the company never bothered to collect the small damages she owed. Watching WeWork's recent struggles have brought her mixed emotions.
There's a lot of schadenfreude.
At first, it was kind of gleeful, but then it became sort of just sadness for everybody who's left. I can only imagine what the panic is like there and what, yeah, it just, I think it's sad.
In 2020, WeWork is still picking up the pieces. On February 1st, the company hired a new CEO.
In the end, SoftBank and WeWork, you know, ended up selecting, believe it or not, a real estate executive to be the new leader of WeWork, Sandeep Mathrani. And his resume is essentially as a someone who knows how to help turn around a struggling real estate company.
You'll still see plenty of WeWork offices. In fact, Wondery, the company that produced this series, has offices in WeWorks in Manhattan and London, at least for now. We'll keep you posted. Scott Galloway believes there's a whole lot more to come.
And it's absolutely not over yet. We're going to see, in my view, a bankruptcy or a restructuring of WE in late 2020 or mid-2021.
When Scott Galloway talks about WeWork, he talks about all the yoga babble and the consensual hallucination that fueled their rise. He's also got another phrase to describe the cabal of bankers, investors, and startups that can lead to these wild valuations.
Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex. I would argue there's this unicorn industrial complex where the incentives across investors and their VCs is to, quite frankly, inflate the value of the company beyond any reasonable valuation.
The unicorn industrial complex. But perhaps it all boils down to something much simpler.
Behind every really bad decision is ego. And I think whether it was SoftBank's decision to continue investing massive amounts of capital here, that in my opinion just is no different than going in the street and burning these billions of dollars. I think that Adam Neumann's hubris and narcissism is a function of ego, that he believed that in fact that this yoga babble actually translated to value. The level of animosity and just sheer hatred towards Adam Neumann, you haven't even begun to see the amount of animosity people are going to have towards an individual who walked away with billions of dollars in exchange for losing tens of billions. We've never seen that before in the history of business.
Over the winter holiday, on the second day of Hanukkah, a tall man in gray jeans, a black hoodie, and a baseball cap pushed his luggage up to the counter at San Francisco International Airport. In his right hand, he held his iPhone. In his left, passports for his wife and five kids. It was Adam Neumann, with Rebecca, who was balancing their youngest on her waist. Their trolley was piled high with black suitcases on their way to Israel.
Adam is in what I would call the Unicorn Protection Program. He is very wisely keeping a very low profile right now.
Word is the Neumanns have moved to Israel. And in February of 2020, Adam and Rebecca put their three-story Manhattan triplex on the market for $37.5 million. Miguel McKelvey, meanwhile, is still at the company doing some soul-searching. He published a blog post titled, "Why Are You Still at WeWork?" I was recently working from WeWork at 222 Broadway in New York. I decided to wander the building to check out the design and see some of the members in the building. On the ceiling of one of the elevator lobbies, there's a neon sign that says, "Don't quit your daydream." That sign stopped me in my tracks. I stood there for an awkwardly long time looking up at it as people passed through the lobby. I was asking myself, am I still living my daydream? Am I still doing what I dreamed of doing with my life? He remembered the good old days at the start, the stress of opening those first few buildings. As Miguel wandered the space, an employee asked him if it was all worth it. Miguel did not hesitate. Yes, it's absolutely worth it. From Wondery, this is the final episode of We Crashed, about what happens when idealism and greed run headlong into business reality. Adam Neumann declined to comment on this series through a spokesperson. WeWork declined to comment as well. Next week, I'll be sitting down for a special bonus interview with Professor Scott Galloway. He and I will talk about what happens next for WeWork, whether there's more trouble in store for SoftBank, and how the story of WeWork has affected the entire business world. Now that you're done with this series, check out the podcast I host called Business Wars. We have dozens of seasons about some of the biggest corporate rivalries ever, including Nike versus Adidas, Microsoft versus Netscape, and many more. On today's episode, we look at some of the recent tech stories we've covered on our daily show, Business Wars Daily. And you can get access to all three shows ad-free on Wondery Plus at wondery.com/PLUS. You can subscribe to We Crashed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. If you like what you've been hearing, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe. Another way to support us is to answer a short survey at wondery.com/survey. I'm your host, David Brown. Natalie Robomed wrote this story. Heather Schrering reported this story. Sound design by Jake Gorski. Our consultants are Corey Weinberg for The Information and Scott Galloway. Additional reporting by Sarah Kessler. Our associate producer is Caleb Bissinger. Production assistance by Melissa Duenas. Managing producer, Lata Punya. Special thanks to Brendan Wallace of Fifth Wall, John Arenas of Serendipity Labs, Natalie Williams, and T. Rowe Price. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman, George Lavender, and Marsha Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Hey guys, I'm Nikki Boyer, host of The Daily Smile. Jasmine Williams found her destiny at just 14 years old.
I just remember it sounded so cool, so dope. It was like rap and MC and monologue and feelings and everything. And that was my first introduction. I said, I want to do that.
Now she's sharing her passion and her art with people all over the world. Listen to Coming Full Circle at the Poetry Lounge on The Daily Smile on Wondery Plus, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.